So welcome to the next edition of the Rare Business Podcast. Today with me, I have Marcia Wright. Hi, Marcia.
Hi, how are you doing, Adrian? Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Now, Marcia, for the benefit of our listeners and readers, can you tell us a bit about you and also about the work that you do?
Yeah, sure. I am probably the most appropriate term for me is certainly I'm an entrepreneur, a serial entrepreneur at that. I have grown a successful portfolio of businesses throughout the world, which include businesses in Switzerland, UK, Gibraltar, and numerous other countries. My industries that I primarily focus on are consulting, management consulting. We also do training within the small business sector, small to medium business sector.
Okay.
But aside from that, media, publishing, even in the restaurant business and in numerous other kind of industries. The thing that I'm perhaps most well known for is being a television business expert. So I've appeared on television in newspapers, magazines. I'm certainly an investor, quite a well-known speaker, and really have quite a lot of time for giving back to the entrepreneurial community, which I enjoy absolutely immensely. Hence, me being here with you, Adrian.
Brilliant. That sounds amazing. Now, also, you've just recently written a book called The Secret Collaborative Economy, More Clients, More Exposure, More Profit, Faster. That sounds brilliant. Can you tell us a little bit about it and how it came about and generally, the overall sort of purpose of the book?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks very much for asking. The Secret Collaborative Economy was actually a manifestation of operating what within our organization we call the Strategic Alliances Department. So we have very big, audacious goals. We have a very big vision. And there's a lot of things that we want to do that change the world. So we have the philanthropic and the significance factor in our vision of all of our companies. But we also want to really serve more of the right type of clientele and deliver them fantastic results and help them to achieve fantastic results, no matter what our business is involved in. So as a means of doing so, what we established was began, if you like, as an operation to draw like-minded people, like-minded business owners, like-minded professionals to our organization, to draw them in and to look for ways that we can work synergistically together.
Okay.
This actually developed into an entire department where we have researchers. We have built amazing connections and relationships with organizations all over the world. Our contacts and our relationships through this single department include run the entire gamut from movie producers, billionaires, right through to investors, right through to consultancy businesses, etc. We have a phenomenal network which is on every continent, and it's all being built up from this one department. The idea for us individually, before the book ever came about, was to actually just build this department, to build the relationships that we needed to enable us to achieve what we wanted to achieve as an organization and take us where our strategic appetites were. So the resulting thing, you know, I love educating, I love sharing my ideas. I'm certainly not a coach or anything like that, but you know, I do consultancy, high-end consultancy with discerning entrepreneurs, entrepreneurs who are very serious about making a quantum leap.
So, Marcia, let me kind of ask you then, because it seems to me that you're talking about, you mentioned joint ventures, and it's this under this broad umbrella of sort of partnerships and things. What do you see as being the distinct difference between, say, a joint venture and a more strategic alliance?
Well, that's a really good question. And for me, there is absolutely no correlation between the two. When you go into I'll take a step back before answering that. When you go really into any relationship, what you're truly looking for is what we all know to be the win-win.
Mm-hmm.
But from my side, how a strategic alliance works is very, very different. You know, strategic alliances are not just single joint ventures, you know, on a one-on-one project.
Right.
A strategic alliance versus a joint venture, it points to intrinsically valuable relationships and not just doing one thing to make money. Typically, small businesses who start looking at doing joint ventures, typically people who have some experience of internet marketing are familiar with the term. It's let's do this and let's make some money on the back of it and then we can go on our merry way.
Right.
Or so very similar to affiliates. But this is very different. This is a much more eagle-eyed version of what do we want to accomplish? Where are we 10 years from now?
Mm-hmm.
And then what are the strategic relationships that we must have? Because anytime you want to be successful, what is absolutely vital is that you have sufficient contacts and you have sufficient relationships that will affect that should you need anything, you can get it on the back of a phone call. You shouldn't need to resort to the Yellow Pages
right.
or to Google to find what it is that you require. So a company who has success in mind, everywhere from the finance department right through to sales, the marketing department, every single department within your company that you wish to grow, and even if you're a small company wanting to become bigger, this is vital because what you're creating is a positioning in a strategic way for value-based strategic goals. So you say, I want to have my business be selling to 5,000 clients in 15 countries,
mm-hmm.
okay? That is a big, audacious goal for some people. So
mm-hmm.
you don't just say, oh, well, I want to look for JVs or I want to do this. Or, you know, you're starting to now think, what does it really, truly take for that to happen? And I find a lot of the time people are completely, woefully unprepared in terms of their languaging, their education, their knowledge base, their contacts, to go into the next dimension of where they want to be. And so what happens as a result is they spend a significant amount of time thinking about where they want to be, but very little opportunities to really jump into that next quantum leap take place. And they end up kind of dancing between two lands, you know, quite a citizen of either.
Is there not an element there which is about mindset as well? Because actually, if you think about things from a joint venture perspective and how do we make more kind of money, well, that's, I mean, obviously money's almost a manifestation of sort of growth, as it were. But a joint venture is a very transactional relationship, I guess. And
yeah.
something that's a bit more sort of strategic, an alliance and a real partnership. And I feel like more human relationship. And a long-term relationship it's not just fixed in time. It has a continuous element to it.
Absolutely. And I think when you have that approach of strategic alliances, you know, the whole thing of any other terminology, it's just very, very different. It's not the same thing. You know, our unique strategy and methodology of growing a strategic alliance department in order to grow every area of a business,
mm-hmm.
from staff right through to having leadership councils in your company, which effectively is an executive board if you don't have one, and if you have an executive board, being able to have a leadership council that helps you to really outgrow your existing thinking that's kept you retained in the current predicament that you're in, or the current status that you're in. But right through to customer acquisition, asset positioning for publicity, and much, much more, you know, it just takes you from a position of, let me just do a little bit here, a little bit there. Now, I would challenge anybody to think of the happy accident that happened when somebody introduced them to somebody else who created a big opportunity for them. Everyone in business has had this.
Yeah.
You know, you were introduced to this person, this thing happened, and then as a result, wow, these great doors opened for you.
Mm-hmm.
Most businesses don't recognize that this is not, does not need to be an accident.
So you actually make your own luck.
Right, exactly. And it's what I call opportunity engineering.
Yeah.
Because what you do is you, instead of saying, oh, I want to, you know, we want to do this thing, or, you know, we want to do that thing, whatever the goal is, just insert your goal here. instead of saying, well, we can't do that because we don't have enough funds, or because we haven't got this or we haven't got that, and funds is often a very, very big reason that prevents people even thinking about doing things on a serious level, why not try to look for a way that you can use strategic alliances, even with suppliers, to gain what it is that you need, but still provide such value to them. And it's something that I also call a value for value proposition. If I come to you and I say, look, I really want to help you to achieve your goals. There may be something in it for me. There may not be. But if you know from what you know about me that I can do X, Y, Z, tell me what it is that you need. You tell me what it is that you need. If I can open that door for you, naturally, the next step is to see what you may be able to do for me. When you go into a relationship from a strategic alliances point, you have pre-prepared not only what you can do, which is what I go through within the book, the Secret Collaborative Economy, there's a whole chapter on assessing what you even have to offer, what value it may have, these tasks and everything like that. It's fantastic, really good, and has such great feedback. But the whole idea of what do I even have to offer, that is already predefined, as much as so is the thought process of what do I truly want. Because I find a lot of the time, even people going to networking events, they're going to a networking event because there are people who are like-minded. But so what? You know, there's like-minded people all over the place. Just look hard enough and you'll see. You even go look really hard. What you truly need to understand is, where are we going? And sometimes that gets lost. It's very easy for it to get lost, because the day-to-day operations of a business, particularly when you're in a managerial position and everything falls on you if you do not have sufficient support or adequate support, all of these things all transpire to a lack of focus on eagle eye vision. And I think what stands out with the strategic alliances approach that I detailed within the Secret Collaborative Economy is that a business, small or large, can look at this book, can give it to their staff, give it to your salespeople, give it to your receptionist, give it to your, you know, your business partner, give it to a friend who's in business with you, give it to somebody who you want to do a strategic relationship with or you want to partner with, but you just don't know how to broach it. You want them to realize, yeah, I should work with this person. Go through that book and recognize that every single thing you want to accomplish is possible with just enough planning and the right positioning.
So there's, I mean, it seems to me there's two things. Well, there's two questions I want to ask you on the back of that. It seems to be, one is, this is effectively a manual of how you do it in your own business. Is that right?
Well, yeah, this is somewhat of a manual, going into quite in-depth, really, on the processes and the importance of doing it and what can come out of it for you, why you'd even want to do it and what you can get out of doing, because otherwise it's just not worth your time.
No,
but
indeed.
Certainly, yes, it's what my strategic alliance department does. I'm not involved in the day-to-day running of the department.
Yeah, no, so I think that's great, because I think that's real. That, again, it's sort of a leveraged approach. It's almost like you've found a way of doing things yourselves, and therefore you've created a book that sort of that you can share with other people that shows what you've done and how it can benefit other people.
Absolutely.
So, using the principles and approaches that you described, I mean, can you give us a couple of examples of how some businesses that you know of or have worked with that have used this type of approach, and what sort of they've been able to achieve?
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you an example of Jim Stovall, which is one that jumps straight to mind. Now, Jim Stovall is quite a remarkable man. He is the CEO and founder of the Narrative Television Network, which is based out of the USA. He wrote the foreword for the book, and Jim is actually, I mean, he's an arena speaker. He has been nominated for a Pulitzer Prize. He's also written several books, including The Ultimate Gift and The Ultimate Life, and the movies of the same name. So he's a very prominent, very successful businessman who has built a remarkable standing in the business community as very much as a luminary. Now, Jim, when he first started out, he's blind.
Well, okay.
And so when he started out, he wanted to create a way for people to enjoy a movie. He remembers the story of when, or I remember his story of when he was watching a movie after just becoming blind not too long. And he was watching this movie and he was hearing it all, but he couldn't quite remember what happened at a particular bit. So he could listen to the movie, but he couldn't remember what happened at that particular part.
Right.
So he could hear all the action, but didn't know. So he said, you know what, I must be able to create, I'd love to create a way that when you're watching a movie or you're watching a TV program, there is a voice over the program that explains what's going on. We all listen to that kind of channel. He created that.
Okay.
Now, what was so poignant with him is the systems, the software, the stuff he needed to be able to create that. He didn't have the funds to get it.
Uh-huh.
He didn't have the funds to get it. But what he did do is he contacted a number of manufacturers, many of whom said no. In fact, all said no but one. And the one who actually said yes said, I do not believe you will be successful with this, but I don't want to be the manufacturer known for turning down the blind guy.
Yeah. Okay.
And as they say, the rest is history. He contacted a supplier with whom he had no funds.
Mm-hmm.
He gave them an understanding as to what would be done from it, and his first strategic alliance was born. That was then continued right through to having celebrities, major stars, writing a very simple letter saying, I would very much enjoy interviewing you for my TV channel. And he got loads of no's, but the ones that he got yeses on actually helped to establish his career.
Yep.
And built him up to be a huge, huge star. So that is just an example, a lovely story of somebody who those who read the book will actually get to know a little bit more about. But that's just one example. Every single celebrity has had that moment.
Yep.
Every single successful business owner has had that moment when you have utilized the introduction from somebody to another person that has made a big difference.
I think that's great, Marcia. I think there's an old saying that I know that my mum said to me, and I'm pretty sure that pretty much every mum around the world says to their children at some point or another, and it says, if you don't ask, you don't get.
Absolutely.
And so, I think that sort of sums up, really, the approach. I mean, people ask me sometimes times, they're like, well, you talk about partnerships and things, and they say, well, how do you do that? And you say, well, you know, you think about what you want to achieve, you think about who could help you, you do the research, do the analysis, and then you either pick up the phone and say hello.
Mm.
It's almost as simple as that. And you start a conversation, not from a perspective of, hi, my name's Adrian, I want to sell you something, but more like you pick up the phone and say, hi, here's what we're doing. Mm. Can I come and have a chat to you about it? And it is quite simple. It's quite a human approach. But I think what you're doing in the book is you're advocating a much, much more deliberate and very planned and therefore very much, much more sort of strategic approach to things rather than it just being shotgun and random.
Absolutely. And the thing is as well, the most powerful thing is always to start from a position of, I think that we have something in common. How can I help you?
Yeah.
Because when you go in with that, you know, somebody called my office last week and, you know, made a very audacious, we would like X, Y, Z, we could do this for you, da, da, da. Eventually, they were given an opportunity to speak to one of my staff and then had the opportunity to speak to me. Within 15 seconds, I knew he was going to pitch to me.
Yeah.
I was just waiting for it. In fact, I just said, you know what, let me kill 10 minutes. Let me just enjoy this moment as he builds up to it. Let me just listen to his pitch. And I just got to a point where I said, you know what, hang on a second, how are you funding this?
Uh-huh.
And I knew that his funding proposal was, I want you to pay for it.
Yeah.
Now, all that you have done is shown me I want something from you.
Yes.
And it's something that puts all of us off, but it's particularly poignant when it happens with an affluent client.
Mm-hmm.
So he already switched me off and, you know, no thanks very much, we'll keep you on file.
Yeah, no, indeed.
You know, politely decline. Because, and that happens no matter who you're dealing with. What you have to do as a business owner is really assess, this is a very important terminology, asset points.
Yes.
And what you're doing is you're looking for the asset point within your business, the intangible asset point. What is it that is in your company that your staff do or know, that your contacts do or know, that you can do or know? What is it that you have done? What can you do? What doors can you open, etc.? I go through all of this in the book. And even if you're an experienced person doing strategic relationships, or as you mentioned earlier on, you've done joint ventures or you have affiliates, etc., there is so, so much within this book
mm-hmm.
that helps you to leverage what you already have, to really assess it and then to leverage what you already have. Because the difference between a really successful company and one that is kind of just winging it all the time,
mm-hmm.
you know, this week you're doing this thing, next month you're doing another thing, another month you're doing another thing, and you're just basically going with the flow. The difference between the two is truly understanding what is the end goal. Being pliable with how you reach there is not a problem, but flittering around, that's a problem. You want to be stable. Your staff need to be stable. You need to be stable in the knowledge that no matter what happens, this goal is reachable.
Sure.
And you are strategically putting things in place every day of the week that help you to reach those goals. And that's why I wrote the book. I truly wanted a means to explain this concept to people. You know?
I mean, I think that's fair, and I think there's a lot in the book, and there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of lessons that you know, that people can learn. And it's also just right. about taking the time to step back and to think about, okay, we might be doing this in a slightly random sort of way. How can we do it in a more sort of deliberate sort of way, and in a way that is we can get everybody involved with. So the book's published. That's, you know, that's brilliant, and I'm sure it's going to be a huge success, and we'll get all that linked up and give you a big shout out for the book and things. There's two questions I generally ask at the, you know, as I get towards the end of these interviews. And it's the first one is, what's Marsha Wright's plans for 2013 and beyond?
Thanks very much for the question. And again, I appreciate you referring back to the book. And I'll just give a little anecdote on that.
Okay.
From the time that I had the idea to write the book, which was on June 9th, the evening of June 9th,
okay.
I wrote the book, the first manuscript, in 5 days. I spoke to one of my mentors about it. He said it might take you 5 days to get it down, but it took you 30 years to learn it. But
That's true.
I put everything down within 5 days, and within 36 days from the time that I penned the first word to the time it went to number one international bestseller was 36 days.
Cool.
From idea right through. And in fact, I used strategies in the book. I dictated we must launch the book with less than $1,000 of actual spend, because I wanted to prove to everybody it could be done. We came in at just over $600, and it was promoted to 1.1 million businesses, and that was all done for free using the strategies I put in the book. So I just wanted to mention that, because I really wanted it to be a very clear, you know, people could look at it and they could see this is a very clear, you know,
This is true.
Yeah, no, this is it works. It's true, and I want everybody else to go off and run and do it and be absolutely successful. And come back and tweet me and say, "Marsha, I did it. It worked. It's fantastic." But going to your other question, what's my plans for where we are at now and as we continue to go forward? And for me, my acquisitions company, we're continuing to build and grow our acquisitions company, which is called Opus Kaufman, Equity Investment and Acquisition. So we're continuing to grow that and looking for great companies to work with who want to grow and accelerate their business, but maybe need some guidance and some support on how to do that.
Sure.
And we do very, very well in that business. So continuing to really grow that and develop that.
Fantastic.
And exceed 100 businesses. And also we want to just continue to spread our word, build a great team, continue building a great team, continue to spread the word, and continue to add value to our clients in all the different businesses that we own or have interest in.
Fantastic. Now, and then the final question that I always ask when I'm doing these interviews is there anything that you would like to shamelessly plug?
Oh dear, shameless plug. Let me think. I would just say I'd rather give back. So what I like to do is every month I pick one or two people who I will say, you know what, I'm going to give you a chance to have a one-to-one with me and to talk with me. And I only do 15 minutes, mm-hmm. and it should be the most appropriately successful 15 minutes where you get to kind of see, this is what I'm doing wrong, this is what I could do better.
Yeah.
And there's no pitch. I'm not really offering money or anything like that. I just do it, and I let people go through that process. So the best thing to do is to go to my site,
mm-hmm.
and if your business wants to, if you want to take things up a notch, you want to kind of assess what you're doing right, and maybe there's a block. Maybe it might be to do with your team. It may be to do with increasing revenue. It may be to do with whatever problem you're facing in your company, lack of revenue, whatever. Enter the competition,
yeah.
which you can go to my site, marsharight.com/competition.
Uh-huh.
So it's marsharight.com/competition. And via that, you can enter the competition. Whether you win or not, one thing is absolutely sure, that you will learn and you will refocus, because the process of going through the competition entry allows you to actually start thinking really practically about your business and where you are. So make sure that you go through and take screenshots as you're going through as well, and just be like, yeah, okay, now I'm refocused. So people who have gone through the process, even if they haven't won, they've gone, this has been so great for me. So I'm just happy to give back. So go ahead, give that a try. And of course, remember to communicate with me on Twitter and things like that.
Fantastic. Marsha, that's great. What I'll do is I'll make sure